Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It is April 23rd, 2025, and we are out and about. The Traveling Road Show continues this week from City Tap House in Penn Quarter, ahead of the Caps and the Canadiens Game 2, just a few blocks from where we're sitting at Capital One Arena. This is your one-stop shop for all things pre-gaming today. If you're going to the game and rocking your red and getting ready to see the Caps hopefully take a 2-0 series lead, come party with us before puck drop. We're going to be here from right now at 2 o'clock all the way up to 6:30, hanging out with listeners as the Capitals get ready for a massive game this evening. We've got a great show. We will be talking about the NFL draft, which gets underway tomorrow night. We will be looking into the Nats and the Orioles as they continue an important regional rivalry at Nats Park. The Nats whooped up on the Birds last night, but it's a cap show early and often today as we are in the shadows of an arena that's going to be rocking when the puck drops in 5 hours and a couple of minutes.
I would like to be very clear about something. I love City Tap House Penn Quarter. I like the whole deal. I like the ambiance, if that's the appropriate word. I like the decor. I like the food. I like the vibe. Everybody here is nice. It's very welcoming. It's very close to the arena. Make your way down. You come here. You stop in. There are beers. You could drink them, right? That's something that you can do. There's all sorts of things. Great food stuffs. And then you saunter over to that little arena right down there, little Cap One Arena.
That's the one.
And watch a Game 2 situation unfold. I don't want to say it's free and easy. That's not a thing in playoff hockey, but it's freer and easier considering they won game one, right? I'm not saying house money like that. You need to be up 2-0. That's very important. But it's not the end of the world as we know it. Shout out REM if they don't emerge victorious tonight.
Raise your hand.
Oh, here we go.
If you got to work early enough today that you already went to the team store at Capital One Arena and purchased yourself a new hat.
My hands are down.
And a new Alex Ovechkin t-shirt. This
Your
guy,
hand is up.
He's got two thumbs.
Wow.
I got myself OVT that I will rock tonight. It's just what I realized for game one, it's a little too warm for my sweater.
There it is.
And I've always had no problem with the sweater when I get into the arena, but it was at a busy bar, hanging out with listeners, high-fiving and hugging strangers, walking the streets of the nation's capital. It was just a little too warm in the spring, so I said, I don't currently have a t-shirt in my game.
Right.
I might as well just go red with a t-shirt. So I don't have to go hoodie or sweater. And so I got one of these new celebratory shirts of the 895th goal of Alex Ovechkin's career.
Oh, yes.
So it was a good purchase. And then I like this hat. I don't know how you feel if you're watching on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream, but it's a navy blue Caps hat. It says Washington Hockey on it.
I like that.
I think it pulls out the color in my eyes a little bit. I feel good about it.
Yeah, you should feel good about that one. Usually, if I can say this, when you get a lot of colors on a hat, just meaning multiple colors.
Me or anyone?
When one does.
Okay.
I tend to shy away from it. Red underbrim, blue regular brim. You got blue on the front, white on the front, the red, and then there's white and the blue, and it all bleeds together. It's usually a little too busy for me. This one works.
So I don't like loud. A lot of the gear now is loud, especially the 5950s, which, by the way, how long have we done a show together? Long enough that when we started, I was a flat build cap 5950 guy.
Exclusively.
That was the only hats I wore.
Yeah, it was like an exclusive deal without any money changing hands to you.
So I was, what, 24 maybe? And at my wheelhouse, that was right around Ryan's age, starting the midday show with you, I was a 5950 flat bill cap guy only.
I mean, almost.
And now I will never buy another one of those. It's not that I hate them. I just don't like how they look on me. I am a snapback hat guy. I want a little mesh on the sides, possibly.
I like the mesh for breathability.
Yeah, breathability. Mm-hmm. Also, when I – let me just turn this around. I want to show you.
Show me that.
It's red and blue on the snapback part.
Oh, would you look at that. So, the fastener is red. The home base where the fastener goes into is blue. It works.
So I'm happy about this purchase.
That's good.
I'm ready for the game tonight. I will be in the crowd with the masses, the thousands and thousands of Capitals fans that will be in attendance. Let's do this thing. Let's play hockey. Let's go game two. Alex Ovechkin. Everyone talks about the game winner in overtime, in OV time during the playoffs. people sleep. It was Alex Ovechkin who got the scoring started in a two-goal performance.
Yeah.
How are you going to start your playoffs after the Ovi chase down the stretch to surpass Gretzky? How about from his office on the point to welcome and usher in a brand new postseason?
Top line stand here. As they will not yield to the second unit, Strome going to be the puck carrier across center. To Wilson right side, driving into the zone, across to Ovechkin, a shot, he scores! Alex Ovechkin leads it off here in game one! It's a power play goal! It's 1-0 Washington!
I'm thinking about making a sizable bet.
Oh.
Not like...
How many units are we talking here?
Ooh, maybe like a 4 or 5 unit bet.
What, dude?
Yeah.
What?
Not huge. I'm not Pat McAfee, you know, dropping my, you know, thousands of dollars or whatever. But if we go normally like $10, $20 units, maybe I put 4 or 5 of those on an Ovi goal tonight.
Grant Portnoy over here.
Why not keep the good times going? We're going to have our capital to score a goal draft to end the show. We'll do that throughout the postseason. Right now, the scoreboard.
Uh-huh.
Darris 3.
Okay, and everyone else?
Danny 0.
Right.
Me 0.
Yep.
Ryan 0.
Uh-huh.
And welcome to the Caps draft for the first time, Toby Altizer, who's sitting at 0 as well. Hard to get a point when you don't get the draft.
When you don't get the draft, yeah.
So that's tough for him. But Darris, all 3 of the goals that were scored in game 1 were guys that Darris Dameron drafted.
Well, we have to redraft, otherwise the whole contest is over.
No, we draft every game.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, we have to do it that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, we just all go home. Because Darris is – and Darris was so fake modest about it, if I can say that. Like, probably the nicest guy of all time, talking
yeah.
about Darris. Usually very – like, just a sweet, thoughtful dude. Very
Until
kind,
he isn't.
Well, mild-mannered.
Until you beat him in Madden.
Well, you run a scissor route.
Until you snore all night long in West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
Like, there are times
– I can't believe they share a room – they share a studio together right now, by the way.
Darris – You don't want to be – like, he may cut you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
But when he wins and does that pretend – did you – you know what I noticed? You know what's so funny? All the guys that scored were my guys last night, just rubbing my face in it. You know what I mean? Sitting right next to me, not looking at me but addressing me. You know what I'm talking about? Just ran me down. It was like, well, everyone else lost too, but it was like, especially you, Danny. You're stupid.
Speaking of running people down, I don't know what was worse for Orioles fans. Poor Birds fans, like my beloved wife last evening. The Orioles getting destroyed by the Nationals
yeah.
in Nats Park.
Hate to see it.
7-0 final.
Mm-hmm.
14-1 hits advantage for Washington.
Yep.
They just absolutely destroyed the Birds. But in the meantime, in addition to just getting embarrassed and playing, and I'm not exaggerating, the worst 9 innings of baseball that any team has played against the Nats this season in terms of fielding and base running, and it was just a what-not-to-do clinic
mm-hmm.
for a big league ball club. In addition to all of that, instead of being charged $89.99 for the rest of the season.
This is injury and insult here.
For Masson Plus. A bunch of Orioles fans, I don't know how they deciphered between the two, but I guess it was maybe based on geography or whatever, were charged $8,999.
Now, see, that's not a good price. That's too much. That's too
Can
much.
Can you imagine having to deal with that in, like, the first inning where you just see that a card just got overdrawn or $9,000 is coming out of your account and you're absolutely apoplectic and you're on the phone working with Masson to sort it out, and then you watch your team get shut out by the Nationals. What a night. What a night.
I paid $9,000 for this?
Dylan Cruz, boys and girls. Home runs in 4 games, like they used to say on NBA Jam. He's heating up.
Here's the wind of the pitch. Swing by Cruz and a drive to deep left center field. This is way back. Going. Gone. Goodbye. Into the Budweiser red seats in left center field. Bang! Zoom goes Dylan Cruz with a long home run. A 429-foot shot.
We still want to send him down to the minors? We still want Alex Call to start every day over him? We're still doing that, right? Oh, we're not. Okay.
No, thanks.
Good. Good to know. 287 expected batting average right now would be 82nd percentile in baseball. Now, he actually hits 189, but he's been one of the least lucky hitters in the sport. Should be hitting 100 points higher. Expected slug, 495. That would be 75th percentile. Actual slug, 324. Barrel percentage at this point is 79th percentile. He's going to be okay.
What do we have to do to get him into the top half of that order? What else has to happen? Who we got to talk to? Is there anybody? Anybody that can answer the call?
I'm just happy they didn't take James Wood out of the game last night.
Well, so, yeah.
We'll start with that, and we'll worry about where Dylan Cruz bats later.
I got plenty. Yeah. You know what? It's a positive thing. They won 7-0. Mitch Parker was unbelievable, right? One hit over eight. By the way, walked the first batter of the game, was ball. So many balls to start the game, and you're going, uh-oh. He's due for a ERA regression, right? He's been pitching sub two. This might be the time. And gave up a lousy opposite field single to Cedric Mullins in the third, and that's all she wrote. Retired the last 17 dudes he faced. Unbelievably good.
Eight innings, one hit for him. He's not missing bats or generating strikeouts, but he gets lots of weak contact, and he did it again in a masterpiece last night. The Nats hosting the Birds this evening, 6:45. The game's over on the Team 980 because the Caps game, playoff hockey, is right here on 106.7 The Fan at 7 o'clock. They are giving away another 10,000 James Wood oversized bobbleheads tonight. I will say the crowd at Nats Park last night was tremendous.
It was great.
30,000 people. Mm-hmm. Sure, there were a lot of Orioles fans. That's expected. Just like there's tons of Red and Nats fans at Camden Yards when the series shifts up to Balmerhun. But I thought the vibes were as good as they've been in that ballpark, not only all season, but in a long time. Leaving, I was sitting in traffic. Mm-hmm. I was having a hard time walking out the center field gate. Things that never happen. If you needed food, you had to wait for it. If you needed a bathroom, there was a line. And while these are inconveniences and somewhat annoying, it was nice to not feel like you were at Tropicana Field.
Seriously.
Which is generally how my weeknight experiences go.
No crickets, no tumbleweed. I mean, it was one of them regulation ballparks, right, on a game that meant something to those folks. And it was fun. The atmosphere was really, really good, I thought. I'm with you. Both for, you know, recognizing what was happening from Nats fans as Mitchell Parker got deeper and deeper into the game. Every time we'd come off the field, getting a nice rousing ovation as the guys close to that first base dugout were getting up, and everyone else would as well. Understanding, hey, he's retired 11 in a row, 12 in a row, 14 in a row, now 17. People are going nuts for it. It was fun, man. Really one of those good old-fashioned baseball atmospheres you hear about.
We are one day away from the NFL draft on Grant and Danny, and on 106.7 The Fan, as a reminder, we will have a watch party tonight out and about at MGM National Harbor's Tap Sports Bar. So if you want to watch the first round with us, that's where we will be. But the Thursday night round one is going to be a blast. I saw, Danny, that the odds on Shedeur Sanders going in the first round are now plummeting. You could get different numbers at different places. The last one I happened to see, Ryan and I were looking at TV a little bit ago here at City Tap House, where we're broadcasting live until 6:30 near the Cap One Arena. But Shedeur Sanders was minus 120 to fall into the second round.
To be drafted in the second round.
I do not buy this smoke, but odds makers almost everywhere are reacting to some of it, and it is getting increasingly likely that Shedeur Sanders falls down the board.
I mean, there was as of yesterday, I was talking to a couple different Giants fans that I happen to know in my life, and they were convinced he was going three. They were convinced that the Giants were simply going to take him because it's what the Giants would do. It's out of order. It's out of whack. They're going to fire.
When presumably, was this?
This was yesterday.
They still think he's going third?
No, as of yesterday.
But even yesterday, I mean, nothing's really changed. That hasn't been part of the narrative in 2 weeks.
But, I mean, that's the thing. They think this is just all smoke. They've done all their due diligence, and it's the most Giants thing possible to have a coach on the hot seat, a GM on the hot seat, then to draft a quarterback to leave, you know, the whatever, the inherited thing for the next guy that tries to come in and clean up a mess. They were convinced of it, both these guys independently. And now it's not only will he not go third, again, according to what we're seeing, he may not go third. Fine. Is he going sixth? Someone trades up. Is he going ninth to New Orleans? Is he going 21st to Pittsburgh? Nope. Not in the first round at all. That's the latest. So the potential is there at three for the Giants to do something, I'd say, admittedly unexpected, but still a top 10 pick, right? Right? Nope. Out of the first round, that's the favorite. Not like, hey, it's even money or it's a good value bet. The favorite is he doesn't go in the first round. That's crazy.
I just can't remember a player this polarizing at the very top of the board who's a face of a draft type guy. Listen to these two different quotes that both came out in the media within the last 24 hours. The first is from a, quote, longtime NFL assistant coach. So I don't know if that's an offensive guy, defensive guy. There's not enough information. But the quote is, one longtime NFL assistant coach said his time with Sanders was, quote, the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He is so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames his teammates. But the biggest thing is, he's not that good, end quote.
Other than that, how was the play?
First of all, it sounds like he hates the guy or right. He, you know, slept with his girlfriend or something. I mean, I've never Seriously. Heard such a damning and damaging quote leading up to a draft from anybody. That is wild. I believe that quote was given to Tom Pelissero. But Pelissero then also had this quote from an executive in the NFC who said, if you look at wow throws, he's got probably the best collection of those over the entire crop, meaning in this quarterback class. Mm-hmm. So it's a little eye of the beholder here.
Sure.
But one extreme is saying, man, this guy makes all the throws. I really like him. The other is, I don't trust him to babysit my kids.
Seriously.
And he's going to steal my lunch if he gets a chance to. Like, I can't believe those quotes.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the level, this is one of the things, one of the themes we've been talking about here for leading up to this for the last week plus is the level of variance on him. Before I thought, hey, he's going to slip out of the first round. I thought anywhere from 3 to 21. That's already a pretty big range for somebody, right? Now it's 3 to what, 35? That's nuts to me.
I know that someone told you that, and so you probably use it. I would not even go with that quote if I was a reporter, I don't think. It's that almost personal.
Mm.
But it's so negative. I guess your job is to tell both sides, right? You're just reporting what they say.
That's what somebody said.
So you pass it on. It feels gross, though, to me.
It feels like that annual Nolan Naraki thing.
Yeah, but like the day before the draft, to throw that out there on somebody, I just get that to quote Charlie Slows, ancient philosopher and Nats broadcaster, it gives me the ick.
The ick.
I just don't like that quote.
Smell what you're cooking. Again, I always try to filter it through who benefits from that.
Yeah.
Is there a team that is trying to poison the well so that he slips to them or slips to their spot so they can get a better offer and trade? I mean, you always try to wonder and look for the motivation there. But, like, it's hard to find that one. You could say a couple of negative things. I don't love the kid. Or, you know, I worry about makeup. Or he takes too many necessary. You could have a negative viewpoint, get that out there without, you know, going, not only do I not like it, but let me put my flamethrower on. You know what I mean? Let me get my blowtorch on this thing just to make sure that everyone knows how visceral this reaction is.
My ick. On the Fan, City Tap House Penn Quarter today ahead of Caps Game 2. Come on out to City Tap House. Hang out with us. We are taking you up to the drop of the puck tonight a little after 7. You'll hear the game right here on 106.7 The Fan. If you are going to the game, this is your pregame spot. Let's get into game 2. Which Capitals got to shine tonight if they're going to take a commanding edge in this series? At 3 o'clock in 40 minutes, we'll get into the NFL draft with Arif Hassan, who covers the event. It's pretty wild, top of the board. Nobody knows what's going to happen after the first couple of picks. You're listening to The Fan.
Striking out is my ick.
On site at City Tap House, Penn Quarter ahead of the Caps, playing game 2 against the Canadians. We're Grant and Danny. You're locked into The Fan. I want to get into who's got to shine for the locals tonight if they're going to go up 2-0. But it was a huge morning in the Paulson household, and nobody was around for me to celebrate with.
Oh.
So I figured I could take it to the airwaves with my pal Danny Huhey right now.
Well, that's me. I can help you.
So for my daughter's birthday, my brother and his wife gave Reagan a pretty cool gift, which was you get these little baby caterpillars, and then they grow into butterflies in like a net that's provided for you. But what's interesting is, so you open it, and it's like a net, and there's a card on how to get the caterpillars. And so you have to, like, go to this website. You pay for shipping for, like, $6. They send you four tiny little caterpillars in a little, basically, cup, essentially, okay, with food.
Okay.
And we've had them for bordering on a month at this point, and they're just sitting, like, in the dining room. And my daughter's obsessed, and she goes over, and she looks at the caterpillars, and what's happening is they keep getting bigger and bigger, and these are now giant.
Well, sure, yeah.
They're giant caterpillars.
Uh-huh.
So they started, I want you to think about, like, maybe the width of a quarter.
Uh-huh.
Like half of that.
Okay.
And now they're the size of, like, I don't know, three of them would make a dollar bill, right? They've got
like the size of a finger almost.
Yeah, they're big suckers. And so I keep checking them every morning because she's like, her and my wife and the kids, they went to the beach for a couple days. They're coming back this week. But if they start cocooning, then I have to now put them in the net for her. You see?
So you've got a job to do.
I have to monitor the caterpillars.
You are on assignment.
But all of them have to be cocooning. There's five of them, I think, or four of them. And they have to cocoon for multiple days before I transfer them into the net. And then in the net, however long it happens, I didn't read the paperwork. I'm not really involved.
Not a paperwork guy.
They become butterflies. Mm-hmm. And then we, I guess, release them to the wild. I'm not really sure. But I tell you all of this, Danny Rouillet, so that I can inform you that after weeks of looking at these caterpillars grow, today I go downstairs, I check the caterpillars, one of them is cocooning.
Here we go.
And so I call my daughter, and the joy.
The joy.
The exuberance. Also some FOMO, I will say. Maybe not thrilled that she's not there for the moment.
Sure, sure.
But there's still several others that need to cocoon, so she's going to be back in plenty
of time. So they all have to be on the same page, and then you transfer them?
Yeah, I can't transfer them one at a time. Like, they all have to be hanging.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. That's what I was told. I didn't bother reading the manual.
Listen, you're doing what I would do.
Yeah.
That's all. That's great. Tell me exactly what to do and leave out no detail.
But I do find myself fascinated by this.
Hmm.
I think the whole thing's amazing. This is going to sound dumb, and it's probably a better conversation to have. Like, you and I aren't weed guys.
Okay.
But if we were on gummies or smoking or something, like passing the joint, like, dude, they start as a caterpillar. They become a butterfly. That's crazy. Like, I can't believe what's happening. Do you get what I'm saying? They started as this little, tiny caterpillar.
Yeah.
Now they're giant, fluffy, legit. You see them on the sidewalk. Oh, my God, look at that caterpillars. Mm-hmm. Now they're cocooning.
Sure.
And if I just wait more time, like waiting for something to be done in the stove, they're going to turn into butterflies with wings that are really pretty and flying around.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. That the whole thing is, I will put it on par with how planes work as like not being able to understand the process. I'm fixated on it.
Okay.
Like, don't act like you get it.
No.
I understand that happens.
No, it's not that I get it.
But you're kind of like right now like, oh, okay, tough guy. Like, I know all about caterpillars. How does it happen? How does that thing become wings?
How does anything happen?
This is my point.
Well, how does this microphone work? Do you really know?
No.
Yeah,
but
like there's a wire. My voice goes through a wire.
You're not interested in that?
So
you're not staring at the caterpillar going, how in the heck is, like, why are we here?
No, I'm not.
How is this all happening?
No, I'm not trying to belittle your thing. I guess the thing I'm saying is I had that, wait, what? In, like, school. When we were kids,
I think she did it in kindergarten or whatever. She's in kindergarten, maybe the beginning of the year, and talked about it. So now we're doing one at home,
right? Whatever grade it was, I honestly don't remember if it was Mrs. Mead, Mrs. Grossman's class or Mrs. Franek's class, first grade. I don't remember, but whatever it was, I went like, wait, what? They wrap. What do you mean they wrap themselves in a cocoon? With what? Where does the cocoon come from? Explain that. Does it come out of something? Is it like a spider web? But like they just wrap, and then when does it become? Like firm.
It's like a spider 2Y banana.
In a way, honestly. That's how we got the name of that football boy, man. Watching butterflies become themselves. Metamorphosis, man.
I just think the whole thing is wild.
Well, I mean, like mammals, right? It's everybody kind of is doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's dad, there's mom, business, whatever, right? You get it. For the insect kingdom. Like, there's a bunch of wild stuff that happens where it's like, yeah, this is their exoskeleton. I'm sorry, the what? Imagine you're Grant. You're just hitting your – I'm just like, I'm Grant. I'm going to the Caps game tonight. I got great seats. I'll be on the glass. And then it's like your skeleton's on the outside. exoskeleton. Hmm. Tell me that's normal.
Cesar, you know what I mean? On the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat, mm-hmm, says he needs cocoon picks. I'll get you some. It's going to have to wait till after game two tonight when I get home.
I tell you what, if you go right now,
yeah,
go back home, take those picks, and come right back, you'll be back in time.
Our boss will be fine with that.
Yeah.
Hey, why did you leave the show? Well, Cesar wanted cocoon picks of my caterpillars.
We just announced why you wanted. I'm leaving the show, sir.
All right, so I will get those for you on Instagram maybe tonight at some point. It'll be a lot of cap stuff and then just cocoons of caterpillars.
Caps cocoon.
At Grant H. Paulson. Let's talk Caps game two. The magnitude of this game, I think, is pretty obvious. I don't think people need me to explain the difference between 1-1 and 2-0. In terms of the likeliness of winning, I can give you those numbers in a best-of-seven series. But the command that you take, and selfishly for me and so many of you listening, the ease of tensions and anxieties, at least for the moment, as this series shifts to Montreal, where the Canadiens have a point in 11 of 12 and I think won 10 in regulation of their final 12 games down the stretch. A very tough place to go, a very loud building. They haven't been in the playoffs in a few years. It's going to be rocking.
There's some pent up,
Dude, one of the reasons in 21, I think it was, that they made that unlikely run deep into the East was people didn't want to go to their building. It's just not a fun place to have to play. And to go there 2-0 and you feel like, worst-case scenario, you lose Game 3. Now you still have an opportunity in Game 4 to take the 3-1 lead, and inevitably then you're in a golden spot. Don't look at Caps history. Tonight's just so big, man. And you've got the fans behind you. You've got the momentum of the overtime winner. You outplayed them for probably 46, 47 minutes of Game 1. You got to find a way. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to tell you, but if at the end of the night they're up 2-0, the chances of winning this series, rocket ship.
Well, I mean, it's like, think of baseball. The biggest difference in the sport is what happens on a 1-1 count, right? It's the, you go, your expected batting average, your expected result at the plate is, you know, the largest possible gap, the largest possible fluctuation. So you want to avoid that 1-1 situation where whoever wins game three statistically wins the series. I know it's a little bit different in hockey, but that's kind of the thing we're talking about here. You're up 2-0. You can have one of those. Hey, they gave everything they had. They have all the momentum. The place went nuts. Talking about the Bell Center in Montreal. You're up. You're still in the driver's seat of this thing, right? If you just keep holding serve, you win the series. You know, they're the ones back against the wall now, right? Put their backs against the wall, I guess, is kind of the point of this. So this is a massive one, right? It's easier. It's not dire if you lose this game because you won game one. You put that deposit in the bank. But to your point, it's you have a chance now at an easier series, if that's such a thing, in the NHL. But yeah, this is a big one. So I what I'd expect is you may not get that same level of, oh my God, pucker that you got in the third period the other night for the Caps. Maybe that happens if they're giving away a lead again. But I mean, to me, this is one of those. A little bit of a sigh of relief after game one, play a little freer, a little easier, put together 60 minutes, and I'll take my chances.
Well, I also think that the way Alex Ovechkin played, scoring two goals, including an overtime winner, the way Anthony Beauvillier helped replace Alexei Protas, the way Alex Alexiev, who did have dental surgery done yesterday after losing a bunch of teeth, but he will play tonight, filled in admirably for Martin Ferravari. And the fact that Logan Thompson was back and was not watching Charlie Lindgren play, a lot of the nerves that we had while we were sitting here at City Tap House 48 hours ago, I don't want to say they've gone away, but they have been quelled and subsided some. The numbers, a team that takes a 2-0 series lead in a best-of-seven series all time wins that series at an 86% clip. I will take that.
Yeah, hard to argue with that, right?
That, when you go up 2-0 at home, goes up to 88%, which is odd because it means, you know, you're a little bit worse off if you win the first two in someone's building and then come back to your place. But I won't bother.
Because that usually what it means is you were the worst team for a larger sample.
Correct.
Right? So the better team winning, holding serve at home because they got their first two games at home, yeah, they're in the driver's seat. They're better, right?
All-time teams in the cap situation, though, where you go up 2-0 in your building and then hit the road, at about an 89% clip, 887, they win the series. So tonight, gargantuan, because you're down around 50% if it's split, and then you've lost home ice. So mm-hmm. goes without saying tonight is paramount. Looking at MoneyPuck, which is one of my favorite analytics sites for the NHL, they do a lot of math and data to just try to determine odds. Right now they give the Caps a 77% chance of getting to the second round, a 34% chance of getting to the conference final, a 14% chance of getting to the Stanley Cup, which I will take, by the way.
I'll take that right now.
And they've got them
at Wizards Cooper Flag odds.
6.1% to win the Stanley Cup. Now, if you're wondering, Winnipeg, Carolina, Toronto, Florida, even Vegas and L.A. narrowly, Colorado a little bit better. But the Caps at about 6% likely to win the Stanley Cup at this point. They've given them a chance right now to sweep this thing at 17%. I won't be using the S word on the show very much today. This team doesn't do that. So even up 3-0, I will assume that Montreal takes a game because you can just scroll through the Caps history as long as you want to.
Yep.
The whole 4-win, 0-losses thing isn't something we do around
these parts. Not really a thing. If they were up by 8 goals with 30 seconds left in game 4, if they were up 3-0, I'd go, I think there's a pretty good chance. Like, that's as far as I would give it.
They might be able to pull it off.
I think they could do it.
Is the face-off in the offensive or defensive zone?
Neutral zone face-off.
Okay. Now
that's as far as I'm willing
to give them a shot.
Right.
Defensive zone, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
Right?
They're like, whatever the craziest pace for allowing goals in human history.
City Tap House is where the show's at today. We are live in Penn Quarter ahead of Game 2. We'll hang out with listeners all the way up to 6:30. That's when I'm headed over, and we'll walk over together to the arena to get in for Puck Drop a little after 7 tonight. Next, I wanted to talk about the passing of a broadcasting legend who is a big part of one of my favorite childhood Redskins memories. Next on Grant and Danny. City Tap House, Grant and Danny, live from Penn Quarter on the Fan. We are just a few blocks from Capital One Arena. The Caps play tonight right here on the Fan just after 7 o'clock. You'll hear John Walton's call. The Nats are in action this evening against the Orioles. They're trying to take a 3-game set from Baltimore. They can win tonight. They'll win the first 2 games of this series. That game at 6:45 will be over on the Team 980. That starts in 4 hours after they walloped the Birds last night. 7-0 out-hit them. 14-1. Danny, I did want to mention this happened toward the end of our show yesterday, and I didn't see it until we were done. I felt bad about it. But Mike Patrick, who is a longtime sports broadcaster and one of my first favorite play-by-play guys as a kid when I really fell in love with that role and that industry and the way of calling games that he provided, he was a part of a booth that was my wheelhouse. I was a little guy growing up. Sunday Night Football on ESPN. So this was before Network Sunday Night Football, Night in America, all the stuff that they've had on NBC and wherever else. This was Mike Patrick, Paul McGuire, and Redskins legend Joe Theismann. And Mike Patrick, who passed away yesterday at the age of 80, he had golden pipes. But his voice with McGuire and Theismann, it was perfect. But it was synonymous with big football for me. Because from when I was old enough to remember to probably my favorite Redskins teams, 99s, 2000s. He called all the biggest games. So the distinct memory I have is my favorite team ever in this town, the 99 Washington Redskins, winning the division at 10-6. And they were in San Francisco for what I'm guessing was like a week 16 game, maybe the penultimate game of the season. Maybe it was week 17. I don't know. But they clinched the division by beating the 49ers that night with Mike Patrick on the call. And I still remember before the play, you know, him and Paul McGuire and Joe Theismann talking, and they go, do you think the Redskins know what's at stake here? And like yesterday, I remember sitting in my basement on the couch, and Centers catches a pass from Brad Johnson, and Centers just walks into the end zone. But the call from Patrick was, Centers, wide open. That's peak childhood.
Yep, right there.
He's no longer with us, but so many moments like that I can remember with him on the mic.
Yeah, he was here locally. I mean, it was went to GW, by the way.
That I did not know, honestly.
Yeah.
He was a DMV guy?
Yeah. I mean, when he passed here this past week, was in Fairfax, Virginia at the time. A lot of time in Northern Virginia. As you said, there are certain guys, and there's a lot of folks who have done, a lot of announcers who have done sort of a wide range of things. Like, there are some really good broadcasters. Guys like a Sean McDonough, for example, has done everything under the sun. There are a handful of guys, though, that for whatever reason, I think it's because of their ability, when they're on the call, whatever it is feels bigger. Nance has kind of gotten to that point. Not even kind of, he's gotten to that point. There are a handful of other guys. Mike Patrick was that for me. It felt more significant if Mike Patrick was doing the game. Right, whether it was Sunday Night Football, which they had forever, or a College World Series game, it felt like a bigger deal
when
he was doing it. And the ability, this is something I thought was remarkable that he had. So, like, I'm a Gus Johnson fan, for example. Like, I think it's okay to be excited, even in play-by-play, when something big happens and he's going nuts. Patrick could rise to the moment without shouting. That's such a rare ability if you think about it. And it's not to knock guys that get excited when somebody hits them and you go, oh, and you lose your mind. But he had that sort of – there was an extra rumble, there was an extra bit of emphasis or whatever you want to call it. He was so good at that for, like, those kind of moments you're talking about where you see it wide open. Like, that was big without him going, you know, losing his mind or blowing his voice out.
This was Mike Patrick on the call of one of the iconic plays in NFL history, certainly one of the most memorable plays of my childhood, the Music City Miracle, where the Titans, with the throwback pass on a return, beat the Buffalo Bills.
Dyson and Bird are deep. Taken by Neal. He gives it to Wycheck. Wycheck, that looked like a forward pass. Taken by Dyson.
CK just told me he lived right by Old Keene Mill in Fairfax County Parkway.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
I was always kind of secretly hoping to run into him when we moved to Fairfax not too long ago.
So has he always lived here?
I don't think he always did.
That adds to the, by the way, the broadcast team of him. Because I remember my mom, she still is. Like, she texts me probably once a week to get Joe Theismann on the show. That's like her show tip all the time. I'm like, yeah, we're doing our best here. We're pushing through. She's like, how's everything going? I'm like, could be better.
She's like, you know what you can do. Here's a strategy.
You need to get Joe Theismann on the show. And I'm like, I agree. I love Joe Theismann. But anyway, that was her broadcast crew, too, because of that. But so him and Theismann are just having drinks in Herndon all the time? Like, they're just hanging out at the Vienna Inn? Like, that's wild to me.
Uh-huh.
So did he work at a local – now I need to look up his career – at a local TV, or is it just random that he lived here?
I don't remember exactly how it went, but I know that I remember being at GW and finding out that he had gone there as, like, you know, after I graduated, like, hey, here's it. Look at this list of broadcasters and pretty influential people.
So he was a revolutionary.
Kind of he was not. It was Colonial at the time. They only changed it recently.
Did Darius dump that or no?
I think it's okay because that's what they were called.
Okay, it's
before.
Like saying Redskin now.
Yeah, it's information. Okay. I don't. Maybe somebody was offended. You don't know. But, he went here and was commissioned in the Air Force, and I think he was mostly a local guy. I think he was on a couple of local networks here for a short amount of time, but it was another of the distinguished list of folks that have been local broadcasters. But, you know, I only knew him as a big national silly.
Well, that 99 call, in fact, I bet you I could find it on YouTube and maybe watch it in the next couple of weeks. But it's funny how that – you know, your childhood, the nostalgia, like, burns things into your memory as if you're burning a CD or something. But I can remember that broadcast and specific things about it like it was a week ago. And it's been 26 years.
Yeah, Paul McGuire just starting every sentence with, here's a guy, and then, like, explaining what
Paul
the guy
McGuire was.
Paul
McGuire was a 10, too. Yeah. Big personality. Arif Hasan covers the NFL draft. It starts tomorrow. The Commanders have the 29th pick. You heard from Adam Peters yesterday. We're going to talk about some of the things Peters had to say as the show goes on, including how much more complicated the process is for Washington now that they're picking at the bottom of the first round and so much is to be determined and out of their control ahead of them. But we'll talk to Hassan about that. What does he think happens at the edge position? Where do those guys come off the board? What's it mean for the Commanders? That's next, live from City Tap House, where we're getting ready for Caps hockey in Penn Quarter today on Grant and Danny.